is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Paul Gauguin Cruises.
I'm Wendy Gillette in New York. A major winter storm is now moving east after bringing snow, rain, and floods to California. The Weather Channel meteorologist Molly McCollum.
What starts in the west doesn't stay in the west. This dynamic system will move into the plains, bringing the threat for tornadoes, hail, and damaging winds Sunday evening.
Michigan is still dealing with power outages after last week's storm. WWJ's Mike Campbell reports.
More than a quarter million DTE Energy customers remain without power since the ice storm hit on Wednesday. Crews are working to restring 8,000 lines that were brought down by the ice and trees.
3 weeks after a train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, the transportation of toxic wastewater to Harris County, Texas, for disposal has been paused. Democratic Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee.
I thought it was wrong to bring toxic waste to a community 1,300 miles away with no notice to our local officials.
Transportation of the wastewater to Michigan has also been paused. Wayne County Executive Warren Evans.
It's something that has got us all very, very irritated. Nobody more irritated than me.
The U.S. has earmarked $2 billion additional dollars for Ukraine 1 year after Russia invaded the country. CIA Director Bill Burns explains why it's needed.
In the short term, there's obviously a lot of concern about Putin's war in Ukraine and doing everything that we can to support the Ukrainians.
The entire interview will run on this morning's Face the Nation on CBS. Five people were killed when a medical transport plane crashed in northern Nevada. CBS's Matt Piper.
The CARE flight crashed near Stagecoach Nevada east of Reno. The crash has prompted an investigation by the NTSB, which says on Twitter that it will host a media briefing on Sunday regarding the incident. The five people on board were a pilot, a flight nurse, a flight paramedic, a patient, and a patient's family member. CareFlight provides ambulance service by plane and helicopter. The company says it's halting flights to focus on helping responding agencies, team members, and the families.
Some advice for parents when their kids have fevers. Correspondent Stephen Kaufman with the details.
When a child has a fever, some parents give medication to make the child feel better when their temperature is below 100.4. A Mott Hospital poll calls that unnecessary.
One third of parents would give fever-reducing medication for elevated temperatures below 100.4 degrees, the point at which the fever starts.
The biggest concern for Dr. Susan Wolford with University of Michigan Health.
Giving children too much medication.
Cold remedies may already contain fever-reducing medicine.
This is CBS News.
CBS News is brought to you by Paul Gauguin Cruises. Artfully authentic, all-inclusive year-round cruising to Tahiti and the South Pacific. Visit PG.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The long-term effects of Wisconsin's redistricting process were apparent in the November elections. A nonpartisan good government group says voters who feel overlooked should not give up. Mike Moen reports.
Democratic Governor Tony Evers won re-election, but Republicans maintained strong control over the legislature. Jay Heck of the group Common Cause points out that Evers maintains his veto power, but he says Republicans still carry a lot of weight, partly because they keep redrawing the maps to their advantage.
There were more votes cast for Democratic candidates statewide than Republican, but the contrast with the legislative elections in the state is so sharp, it almost makes laughable the idea that we have a true representative democracy.
Researchers have said that over the past decade, Wisconsin has produced among the most gerrymandered voting district maps in the country. Heck says voters should look ahead to next year's state Supreme Court election with the hope a less politicized court could eventually revisit the issue. And there could be legislation floated again next year to develop an independent redistricting process. In the meantime, he says the current maps allow a smaller percentage of voters to decide who controls the legislature, leaving other voters behind in fair representation.
Urban areas in Wisconsin have suffered a decline in the shared revenue from the state, even though those people pay taxes.
Heck says that means less support for schools, roads, and other public needs. Analysts say lawmakers representing these areas get packed into boundaries that ultimately diminish their voices at the state capitol. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut deep.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kadigi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Zoe, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
That's right. And I just want to remind everyone that this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. Well, so filling in.
No, that's all right. Hey, we got a jam-packed show here, Zoe. We got Rachel Thunder and a couple other people talking about what happened yesterday and what led up to yesterday with the rooftop protest, and really excited to amplify what's happening. It was a mess. We had Rachel on for a very short time yesterday, Zoe, and 100 police showed up, you know, for a peaceful protest that sounds so familiar here in Turtle Island and especially in Minneapolis. So I don't know what was going on with that. We played a lot of the footage when Ogum was on yesterday and at the end of the show, and it was just we have to hear an update from Rachel and check in with Joe. We haven't had Joe on the show in quite a while, so we're really, really excited. But before we do that, I want to tell everyone we talk about Native news that you don't hear anywhere else, and I want to bring in Zoe here and talk about what's going on in Turtle Island and the news that you don't hear anywhere else here other than Native Roots Radio. Thanks, Zoe.
Miigwech. So our first story today comes from Indian Country Today. Conservationists are hoping to get an emergency court order to block the construction of a Nevada lithium mine after a U.S. judge directed a federal agency to revisit part of the approval of the construction. However, the judge has allowed the construction to move forward in the interim. Tulasi Brooks, which is a lawyer for the Western Watersheds Project, was quoted saying that this mine should not be allowed to destroy public land unless and until the Ninth Circuit has determined whether it was legally approved. The White House itself has said that this mine, which was planned by the Lithium Nevada Corporation, is necessary to continue efforts to produce raw materials for electric vehicle batteries. Others, however, speak of how it will harm the surrounding ecosystem and pollute the groundwater and air. Tribes have also requested relief, as the site is a sacred site to them. This issue follows a very long history of attacks on Native lands, similar, of course, to the Dakota Access Pipeline and Line 3 Pipeline. However, now Indigenous peoples, we must fight back against the nationwide movement for electric cars as they become the next environmental issue that we face. And in other news, this is coming from Indian's website. The U.S. Court of Appeals declared on February 2nd that the ban on access to firearms as it relates to domestic violence is unconstitutional because it does not fit within the U.S. historical tradition of firearm regulation. They went on to say that unless a crime has been committed and the perpetrator has been convicted, that perpetrator is still seen as innocent in the eyes of the law. And, you know, Robert, as many of us know, there's a lot of reasons why survivors of domestic violence don't feel safe enough to make reports to law enforcement regarding their abuse. Two of the most prevalent fears are that, of course, nothing will come of the report, as we know. I can't remember how many, of course, but recently it was found out that there are many, many SANE exams, or also known as rape kits, that had not been tested properly throughout the country. And because of that, you know, survivors know that little can be done about their situation, or little probably will be done about their situation, which is just a horrible reality that Indigenous women and all of our relatives face day to day. So studies across the U.S. have also proven that domestic violence and femicide are critically linked due to statistics that state that abusers with access to firearms are 5 times more likely to kill their female victims. So Strong Hearts Native Helpline CEO Lori Jump was quoted in the article stating that this action has removed one of the few tools that survivors have to protect themselves and their children. It is hard to reconcile the court's reliance on antiquated laws and their perceived intent with the statistics on femicide. So I just want to say also, if you or a loved one is currently experiencing a domestic violence situation, please call or text the Strong Hearts Native Helpline at 1-844-762-8483. That's 1-844-762-8483. Or visit their website at strongheartshelpline.org. I just thought that was pretty, go ahead, Robert. That's pretty insane.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, too, I just want to, when you were speaking, and we've had Strong Hearts on many times on our show, and what a great organization, and please reach out to that 1-844-762-8433. You know, I've witnessed so much in my lifetime about blaming the victim, and that's huge, too, and I just want to add that to your story, too, that it's a common thing, it's a natural thing where people think that people deserve violence, and it's insane. And thank you so much for amplifying that story, Zoe.
And you know, that goes to say that rape culture is very strong within our society, and in our Native community too. We really have to know those signs, you know, and to not affirm this idea that to be Native is to suffer from violence. I've heard that before, and it's really damaging to us as a people. It's really damaging to our youth. So, you know, organizations like the Strong Hearts are doing great work, and we need more of that work going on. On a happier note, according to CBC News, a new report has shown that Indigenous language learning is on the rise. And, you know, this is coming out of Canada. But we know that we have a lot of language revitalization also going on in the U.S. So around 17,000 people are learning their First Nations language in British Columbia. Last year, the province gave $35 million in funding towards supporting language revitalization. However, Indigenous organizations such as the First Peoples Cultural Council, which is actually the organization that made the report, are stating that consistent funding from the government is needed in order to make a true commitment to communities. According to the report, there are 34 Indigenous languages spoken within the province, and around 10,000 355 people who are fluent speakers, which is really incredible. And, you know, the number is rising, which is really beautiful to see, because people have the misconception that our languages are dying. But, you know, we can't believe that, because then they will. We have to believe that they're going to continue to thrive no matter what. And a last little bit of news, you know, Robert, you already mentioned this. So last night, the Minneapolis Police Department conducted a raid on the Roof Depot occupation, and we'll be hearing more about that from our relative Rachel Thunder in the next segments to come. So really, really looking forward to hearing what transpired last night, and also what was said at the press conference today at MIWRC, also in South Minneapolis. So this has been your Native News with Zoe Allen, Chimi Gwich.
Right on, Zoe. I really appreciate it. Hey, up next, we got Joe Vitale and Rachel Thunder. We're going to talk about the rooftop situation yesterday and get the word out to our relatives all over Turtle Island. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Stay with us, please. Ho-wa.
Knucklehead CBD and Vapes is now online at knuckleheads.shop. Step into your favorite smoke shop without leaving your home. Find grinders, papers, Delta 8, and more, all from your computer or phone. With free shipping on all orders over $50, you'll be sure to find exactly what you like. You can also order for in-store pickup, so there's no wait. Knucklehead CBD and Vapes.
Visit Knuckleheads Milwaukee at 2949 North Oakland Avenue.
Order online today at knuckleheads.shop.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
The Devil's Advocates.
Aaron Mostofsky, who rioted at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, was dressed as Captain Caveman. QAnon shaman meets law and order?
Right. I mean, he pulled it off a whole lot better than Aaron Mostofsky.
Well, let me read a quote from the judge in this case. I hope you'll leave some of this fantasy world behind. Mostofsky was sentenced to 8 months in prison.
Looking at the guy, he might be one who loses his mattress on the first day.
Breaking news.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Weather on this snowy day in Milwaukee could be brought to us by your pizza delivery business. Can you imagine how many families are snuggled in their homes enjoying hot, tasty pizza? Weather makes the phone ring for just $199 per week. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Bright sunshine expected today with daytime highs approaching 40. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance for scattered rain showers tonight. Lows level off around 26. Overcast skies. Scattered rain showers again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 44. Cloudy skies expected. A dusting of snow Tuesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 23 degrees.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute of Minneapolis.
Thanks, Zoe. Hey, great to see you, Joe Vitale, and of course, Rachel Thunder. Joe, I want to go to you first, and then we'll get into Rachel, what happened last night. But Joe, I've seen you boots on the ground on this issue from day one with the city council and you speaking good words. Welcome to Native Roots Radio, and thanks so much for being on, Joe.
No, McWitch for having me. Hello, my relatives. My name is South Mountain, Joe Vitale. I am a citizen of the Red Lake Nation and also a proud Mexican. And as Robert has described, I have been a part of the Roof Depot fight for the past 2.5 years. However, it's been going on for 8. I'm part of the newest iteration of the struggle. And what we are talking about today is the idea of community autonomy of what their neighborhood looks and feels like. And what we're especially concerned with in this particular issue is the Roof Depot, which sits at 28th and Longfellow, which has a legacy of industrial pollution that goes all the way back to the 1940s, where there was originally a pesticide plant that dumped arsenic in the neighboring community going up to the 60s. And unfortunately, that arsenic was encapsulated underneath the Roof Depot building, you know, amongst many things. You know, that pesticide arsenic was allowed to drift into the neighboring community, and it was allowed to do so for decades, where that site was then declared a Superfund site in the early 2000s, with cleanup going up to the about 2017 was when the last home was, the soil had to be physically removed. So that's, you know, back in 2017, that's when the soil was removed. When the site, the designation status was then removed, community had an idea as to what to do with the Roof Depot building, because by then the community became aware that, you know, the owner wanted to sell and the community wanted to buy the building and retrofit it to become a multi-use mixed-use development project. And, you know, there were countless community meetings that took place in which, you know, and we're talking about meetings with multicultural groups, because East Phillips is very, is heavily diverse. It's one of the most diverse communities in the state, at least per capita. We're talking about our East African relatives, our Latinx relatives from Mexico and Guatemala, as well as Little Earth resides there. So our indigenous relatives are there and our white relatives, and all came together to come up with this project to address some of the root issues they are experiencing daily. So we were talking about fresh foods, because East Phillips is currently a food desert. You know, we're talking about green jobs, a job training facility where folks would be trained in on, you know, how to maintain solar panels, electrical vehicle maintenance, you know, green, thinking about the future, that green economy, as well as having public space. Because if anybody who is listening has tried to reserve space for a meeting, let alone a training, it is nearly impossible because public space is at a premium. Unfortunately, the city of Minneapolis used eminent domain on the owner and forcibly took the site from them to expand its current work facility that is neighboring of Roof Depot. They're on 27th in Hiawatha. And what they want to do is demolish the building and expand its truck yard to consolidate all of the diesel vehicles as well as their equipment on this site. And I mentioned briefly that East Phillips is highly diverse. It's also incredibly poor. The average income in the area is about $33,000 for the family, and it actually drops significantly to $10,000 for our relatives in Little Earth. And so we're talking about a very diverse, deeply poor area. And it's also a green zone, which is a city policy that mandates that the city, you know, invest in green infrastructure in the area, that it reduces air pollution in the area. However, this is a classic example of environmental racism, where the city is ignoring its own environmental policies because it messes with their profit margins. Because, you know, I talked about the consolidation efforts that's going into this project. And those other facilities that currently house the trucks, that currently house the equipment, are in prime real estate. We're talking about real estate in Southwest Minneapolis, Northeast Minneapolis. They're in downtown Minneapolis, all premium, where they want to sell to developers to make a profit. And the city claims this will reduce emissions, except they're centralizing the pollution that comes with this project in East Phillips. And that's after the fact that they expose the residents to arsenic, which again would trigger the Superfund status.
Wow, Joe, that's amazing what you just said there. One of the things I want to ask you, and probably last time I knew that when you had a diesel engine, you had to warm it up for a long time, and especially in this weather. So to consolidate that air, as you spoke earlier, with X amount of trucks is just insane.
It's completely backwards. And, you know, I talked about the policy that, you know, dictates that the city needs to reduce emissions in these areas. You know, East Phillips is inside of a green zone. You know, it's the South Side green zone. There's a North Side green zone next to Northern Metals and where Upper Harbor used to be. But we all know that when it comes to the almighty dollar, our government will look the other way for its own benefit. And I'm glad you talked about, you know, warming up a vehicle, because this isn't just one truck. This isn't even just a fleet of trucks. We're talking about hundreds of vehicles. The site plans include 888 parking spots for its entire fleet. So we're talking about significant pollution that is coming into this area. And Roof Depot or the city's project is just like the tipping point of the problems that exist there. We're talking about Hiawatha runs across, Cedar Avenue cuts right through East Phillips. And then, you know, I'm not even discussing Smith Foundry and Bituminous Roadways, that is an asphalt plant that also pollutes the neighborhood. So yeah, we're just adding to that cumulative impact.
And I want to let our Wisconsin relatives know we're all over Turtle Island and on civic media and, of course, on the local AM 950 here, that this is a poor part, as Joe said, poor part of town. So we get into this, you know, not showing up, not caring. You know, these meetings go on during the day when people are trying to work. Rachel, I want to grab you, get you in here. And one of the things I wanted to say that I think you brought up, or one of our newscasts were brought up about this specifically, is that the language of the invite was only in English. And we have so many diverse people here, Rachel.
Right. No, that was a comment, in fact, that was brought up by Jolene Jones from Little Earth at our press conference today at MIWRC. And, you know, initially when there were meetings happening about the site, the invitations went out to different communities here, and all of the invitations were sent in English. When you have one of the most diverse, the most diverse community in Minneapolis, you have, you know, your Latina, Hispanic community, you have, you know, Somalian community, and none of these invites were sent out in any of those languages other than English. So of course, you know, they just threw them in the trash. And then on top of that, not one single invite was sent to one home at Little Earth. You know, out of over 200 homes, they just decided to not send those invitations out to the largest indigenous population here in South Minneapolis.
Well, Rachel, I appreciate you being on today. And I think as we went live when you left us yesterday and played some video that was going live out there, of course, with not the audio, because you never know who's going to swear. It looked like we were dealing with Standing Rock, with Line 3, with the uranium and the Black Hills, all these things where we had overabundance of police last night to round us up, you know. And thank you for being there. And I want to, we got less than a minute left here in this segment, and I want to really talk to you about what went down, because this is not right. And this is, again, attack on Native Americans, peaceful protesters that can't speak their mind in a city that's supposed to be diverse. But we know each day that this is not what Minneapolis is about, whether it's the police department, whether it's the mayor, whether it's officials that, you know, Joe's been dealing with. I mean, I saw Joe at the city council, and you know, these are people are supposed to be supporting us. So Rachel, we're going to dive deep into this, and Joe, stay on too, because this is so important for all our people around Turtle Island to hear what's still going on to us brown and black people all over Turtle Island here. And it's well, it's sickening. So we'll come back in a few seconds. Thank you so much, you guys, for being on. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Stay with us, please. Ho-wa.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for News Talk Radio. streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Parts of California are cleaning up after a major winter storm that's now heading east. KCBS TV reporter Tom Wade has more from Los Angeles.
Both rain and snow closed parts of the 5 freeway, the major artery connecting northern and southern California, and hundreds of thousands were without power.
The transportation of toxic wastewater from the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, to Harris County, Texas, has been paused. William Kofsky lives in Deer Park.
I really hope that communication is more mainstream and they're a little bit more forthcoming with how they're going to handle it and what precautions they're going to put in place.
The U.S. is giving $2 billion more in military aid to Ukraine, CIA Director Bill Burns.
Putin, in many ways, I think, believes today that he cannot win for a while, but he can't afford to lose.
That interview will air on CBS's Face the Nation later this morning. CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
Of course I use Mr. Clean Magic Eraser to clean tough messes off my stovetop and bathtub. But then I discovered I can also use it to easily clean my patio furniture and even my shoes. I'm hooked!
And when wipes won't cut it, I use Magic Eraser sheets. They're thin and flexible erasers perfect for everyday messes, like gunk on my counters and sinks. They really are magical.
The reviews are in. Mr. Clean Magic Eraser and sheets make cleaning look easy.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
The Devil's Advocates.
Mitch McConnell did make a public statement, right? After he voted to acquit.
No, nothing says the president can't be prosecuted.
Set the example for your caucus.
Convince your caucus as to why the man is not fit to serve. How do you not use your leadership? Say, you guys, this is crazy. We can't do this, and here is exactly why. Because now, of the two major political parties, one of them is under the thumb of a fascist insurrectionist.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
My daughter started making necklaces. She makes what we call affirmation fashion. I tell her every day that your black is beautiful. Your black is beautiful. And if there's anything better than being beautiful, it's being smart. And if there's anything better than being smart, it's being kind. And reaffirming that every day is our method of making sure her chin never drops. My dad wasn't around, and I remember riding a bike and falling off and cutting myself, and me never would just want to get back on it. People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike, and you didn't. I didn't teach them. I just created an environment where they taught themselves, and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for the future generations. Ow!
Okay, that's usually the last segment, but you got me surprised there. And we're here with, Joe Vitel and Rachel Thunder. And what I want to do, Rachel, is talk about tomorrow, yesterday morning, the American Indian Movement, people from all over the community came to this area and had put up a teepee. That's start from the morning and end up where the police came.
Right. So yesterday at sunrise, members of the American Indian Movement, Little Earth Protectors, Indigenous community members, and allies entered the gates outside of the Sears warehouse at East 27th and Longfellow Avenue at the Roof Depot, beginning a ceremonial occupation of the Roof Depot site. We lit a spirit fire, held a sunrise ceremony that was run by Fred DeCharlet, filled our pipes. We put up a teepee and began setting up camp, in a prayerful and a ceremonial way. And I also wanted to thank everyone who supported and helped. The outpouring of support from the community and allies was beautiful, uplifting, and unifying of the South Minneapolis community. And during the entire occupation, there was never any drugs, alcohol, weapons, violence. None of that was present at Camp Ninicasi. And the prayer and ceremony held at this site was led by Indigenous community members for the betterment, protection, and health of all of South Minneapolis community, the land, and future generations to stop demolition that's set for the 27th of February.
Right. So the day went on. I saw there was food. I saw there was, coffee. I saw there was people sharing and talking to each other in a good way. Mm-hmm. And then later on when you were on our show, basically all hell broke loose.
Yes. So the entire Minneapolis Police Department encircled the neighborhood at 6:15 p.m. And we were actually getting calls from some of our relatives that live close to Hiawatha saying there's hundreds of police officers coming your way. There were so many that they took up in the entirety of Hiawatha and were blocking intersections and holding up traffic. They shut down all of Hiawatha, 26th Street, 27th, 28th, and even the footbridge that crosses Hiawatha. The Minneapolis Police Department surrounded Camp Ninicasi and ordered us to disperse within 10 minutes. The police department used a saw to cut through the chain link fence on the south side of camp, and police began detaining our women, aunties, and women around 7:15 p.m., including myself, along with about seven other Indigenous relatives that were in prayer and ceremony at that time.
So, Rachel, one of the things that the police do now, I heard, and maybe, Joe, you can jump in too, is they will not arrest people. They put them in the car and drive them a long ways away, and then there's no arrest report. But yet they've broke up this, in our case, a peaceful, prayerful occupation, and dropped you off in the middle of nowhere to come fend for yourself and get back to your car and get people to pick you up. Is that what happened last night?
Yeah. So when we were arrested, I was told that I was going to be taken downtown and that they were going to make sure that I stayed down there as long as possible, that they would draw the process out as long as possible. And then a call came in from higher up and said that it would be bad for optics if they brought me downtown. So they kept transferring me between different cruisers. At one point, my leg was injured when one of the officers was trying to shove my right leg into the vehicle because I couldn't get my leg in there. I actually had to go to the doctor today to get that looked at. And they said that they were charging me with a misdemeanor for trespassing, but they never read me my rights. They never gave me any paperwork. They ended up then putting me in a van and then into another cruiser and said that they were just going to take me somewhere and drop me off. And I asked them to take me to Little Earth, and they said no, that they wouldn't do that, that it was too close and that I would just come back. We drove around for a little bit, and then they ended up finally dropping us off in the street in front of Homeward Bound Shelter, the AICDC shelter. They didn't want to go into the parking lot, so they dropped us off in the street there.
Wow. Joe, to your knowledge, is that what's happening now? Is that what the Minneapolis police are about? So there's no record in their actions because they're not arresting people now?
Yeah, that's correct. It's something we've seen ever since the uprising after the murder of George Floyd by the Minneapolis Police Department back in 2020, where we had the peaceful protests disrupted by police going up 35. And those folks, you know, hundreds of folks were picked up and dropped off across the Twin Cities with, like you said, no ride, having to fend for themselves. At the time, the reasoning was because the jail cells were full and COVID was an issue. But nowadays it is to intimidate and discourage activists from participating in future actions. However, it's not going to work in this instance. We see through the lies, and, you know, we don't see yesterday as a loss, as Rachel mentioned. So many of our relatives came together because what we know is righteous, and we will be back. Maybe not in that site, but as we'll discuss in a little bit, we will be back in different forms.
Yeah, that's where I kind of want to go next, Rachel, without giving away your plan. This is not going to end, right? And even though we're going to have 20 inches of snow here, is the February 27th date still a go?
So as far as we understand, yes, demolition is still set for February the 27th. We drove by the site today, and they're reinforcing it with like a second layer of fence, kind of similar to how they barricade with fences after the riots with the concrete barriers at the bottom. But no, you're absolutely right, Robert. This fight isn't over. This prayer isn't over. And, you know, a point that I wanted to make too, is that the Minneapolis Police Department, you know, states that they are not going to be responding to nonviolent crimes. So why did they respond in such a force to this? It was crazy. The amount of police officers that were there, like, I never see one police officer show up for any, you know, anything here in our communities, not for drug dealers, for, you know, our women being trafficked, for John's, you know, patrolling our neighborhoods, for our missing murdered Indigenous women. But the entire Minneapolis Police Department can show up because Mayor Fry ordered it, you know, for a peaceful, prayerful, sober, no drugs, no alcohol, no weapons, no violence, you know, none of those things present in our camp, you know, grounded in prayer and ceremony. It doesn't surprise me.
Well, Joe, you know, what do we say to these politicians? And I know a Fry, for instance, came to the community for the vote, promised things. What do we say? And what do we say to these politicians that really, I don't know, basically lied to us just to get our vote, to simply put it?
Yeah, I think it's something you've been advocating for our relatives for a long time, Robert, which is remember, account for how our politicians vote. And if they don't vote in favor of our community, we have to vote them out. We have to remember that Fry will be going up for re-election, as well as all city council members. Well, Fry is in 2 years, but other city council members are this year. So this is the way we hold folks accountable, which is knowing when the caucus dates are, and then also, you know, getting involved with all of that and making sure that we get these folks out of there and speaking your truth.
Yeah.
We can't continue to have this type of genocide in our institutions.
What a way to put it. Rachel, what do we got going next here? What is our call to action to people that are listening, people that live in the Twin Cities and all around Turtle mm-hmm. Island?
I would say people that live in Minneapolis and in the Twin Cities, call the city council members, you know, even those that are in different wards than just South Minneapolis. We are going to be pushing for a revote. City Council has a meeting tomorrow at 9:30, and we are organizing a caravan from Little Earth to the city council meeting. So we're asking everybody to meet at Little Earth at 8. We're going to be handing out $30 gas cards per vehicle. And it's okay if you don't have a vehicle. There's going to be plenty of space to jump into somebody else's car, and we'll make sure that you get a ride back. We just want to make sure that we have as much representation there at city council at that meeting for our voices to be heard and unified.
Wow, that's perfect. Joe, what's your thoughts? This is what democracy looks like, and we aren't seeing that from the bad guys' side.
No, and we have to look at the bigger picture here, where it's embarrassing. Where, I mean, granted, we want the Capitol acting in the best interests of folks in the Twin Cities, or in fact, for all of folks of Minneapolis or Minnesota. But it's embarrassing where the city of Minneapolis is doing more harm to its residents than the state. And again, keep an account of how folks vote, you know, vote them out. As Rachel said, the actions are not done. We have tomorrow. Then we have a block party on Sunday at 2 p.m. You know, the movement doesn't stop with yesterday, nor does it stop tomorrow.
Wow, good way to put that. We got less than a minute of this segment, Rachel. I just want to give you kudos for moving back to the Twin Cities here, and the strong Native person that you are. I see you around the neighborhood. I see you at the Capitol. I see you at good places where you speak the truth. And I just want to personally say it's great to have you here back in the Twin Cities and helping our people all over Turtle Island.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Robert. It's good to be here.
Zoe, we got less than a minute left. You got anything to talk to ask our relatives before we let them go?
Oh, thank you guys so much for being here. Oh my gosh, it's really important to hear from you as you were there and your experiences too, Rachel. Just that is insane and good to know that, you know, MPD's not making arrests anymore. I've been a part of a lot of Line 3 stuff, and even since then things have changed. And it just seems like they are just ramping up their efforts every time. And so it is discouraging, but knowing that you guys are out there doing the good work, you know,
yeah, makes it absolutely
better.
Show up at the Minneapolis City Council meeting tomorrow at 9:30. Let's do it. Rideshare available at Little Earth starting at 8. Thank you so much, you two, for being on. You are our idols and your boots on the ground. Thank you, Joe. And thank you so much, Rachel. We'll be back after this short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Cardall put out these weird, sad videos interviewing incapacitated elders in their nursing homes that don't have the ability to say, don't use me as your political prop.
If they are what you say they are, then you shouldn't be doing it how you did it.
Yes, it was the kids using the parents as props. Well, my old man hasn't talked since 76. Of course he would have voted for Trump. That's the evidence. Videos. People that can't talk.
It is wrong. So it's absolutely wrong.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
J.R. Radcliffe is coming back to the show. The timeline of Brett Favre's involvement in a welfare scam in Mississippi.
Brett Favre's camp has denied all wrongdoing. Like, he really feels like he did nothing wrong. So I guess he's a little burned by that.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
What is dedication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy, snowy day could be brought to us by your business. Can you imagine how many snowblowers, snow shovels, and snowmobiles are being sold as we speak? Weather sponsorships make the phone ring. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Ample sunshine expected today with daytime highs approaching 40. West winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance for scattered showers tonight. Lows level off around 26. Overcast. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. Highs level off around 44. A dusting of snow Tuesday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 23 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic located on Franklin Ave in Minneapolis.
Hey, we prematurely said hi, Juoni, to Rachel Thunder. I know she's got a couple more things to speak upon, which I appreciate you staying on. That if you didn't stay on, Rachel, that means Zoe and I would have to make up some stuff the last 10 minutes of the show. So I'm glad you're still on, and let's speak your truth. Ho-wa.
Thank you, Robert. You know, at the end of the day, it's important to remember that this land that we're here on in South Minneapolis and the Minneapolis community, you know, falls under treaties that were signed with the Dakota people with Fort Snelling here in the early 1800s. And all of those treaties were broken and not honored by the United States government. There were certain payments and resources that were to be made to the Dakota people, and they were never received. So, you know, when we're peacefully there and when we're prayerfully there and we're arrested and charged with trespassing by the city of Minneapolis, how is that possible? Because all of this is stolen land. How can we as indigenous people be trespassing on stolen land? And the militarization of the Minneapolis Police Department is just another moment in this ongoing saga and war that the United States people has against our First Nations people as the original people of Turtle Island. So I just wanted to share that, Robert, that, you know, yes, this is about the Roof Depot. Yes, this is about keeping pollution and toxins out of our communities. Yes, this is about having clean air and clean water for our people. But this is also about treaty rights. And, you know, that us as the original landlords of this land, so to say, that we have every right to pray, have ceremony, and anywhere that we want on this land, that because it's all sovereign indigenous land.
That's a great point, and I think that's a thing that we like to talk about, but we don't talk about enough. We talk about it probably once a week, maybe on Tuesdays, when we talk about treaties. But treaties do matter, and you know, there's been many treaties here in Minnesota, and the only treaty that this country seems to have agreed upon is none, and that paints a pale picture for our people out there. And and Rachel and Zoe, it's great that we're talking about this, only because we have so many people out there. We have so many white people that want to help and want to learn, and we are all treaty people. As we talk about, the treaties work both ways. They're to protect not only us, but the other treaty signers. And we always have to bring that up again, Rachel.
No, you're absolutely right, Robert. Treaties are sovereign nation to sovereign nation agreements. And so there's terms for each of those sovereign nations. So in the terms of these treaties that we're talking about specifically here, that would be sovereign nation as the Dakota people and the sovereign nation of the United States negotiating and agreeing on terms. And the terms by the Dakota people were upheld, but the terms by the United States government were not upheld.
And what do we say all the time? I see T-shirts, I see memes or whatever they're called about, you know, we're in the Constitution, that treaties are what? The supreme law of the land. And, it, you know, we get people talking about things like the Second Amendment and amendments that are very, how do you say, convenient for the quota, but not convenient for what's reality in these treaties and their constitution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And there's a lot of issues that we face here as the indigenous community of South Minneapolis that seems to be shared across Indian country. You know, and many of those things are not being addressed by the city of Minneapolis. You know, one being the evictions of our unhoused relatives here on the streets of Minneapolis and the limited resources that is put towards them and the injustices that they face. And I mean, that is evident in this raid that came on our camp that was peaceful and prayerful and sober, you know, all of those things. And the entire Minneapolis Police Department showed up. And so I personally feel and believe that these camp evictions should be illegal, especially during the winter months. It's a death note.
Yeah. Hey, you know, we only got a couple minutes left, but Rachel, I'm going to ask you to do something for us. When you were at the Capitol, you spoke and you quoted John Trudell. Do you remember what you said?
Yes, I do. I said that the system of oppression, these colonial governments like the United States, the only thing that they care about is power. And power to them is money, and money is an illusion of power. And the only true power comes from the earth. And as indigenous people, that's where we draw our power. And that scares the government and these city governments as well.
Exactly. And that's big reason why we couldn't, do our own religion until 1978 when, Rachel, I know I look young, but I was a junior in high school when that law changed. And it's the irony of there's only certain rights for certain people. And we fell way behind on that as the people of this land, First Nations, as the Canadian brothers and sisters talk about. But this is our land. And, you know, we are talking about land back. We're talking about things that that are happening, and they're going to happen. You know, I always told my students when I was in high school is that this thing called democracy is not going to last. They're trying to do this, and we need to be ready to take our land back because this is going to fail one day. And I always kidded with my kids and said, "You're not ready. Learn your language. Learn to make food, and you know those things." But there's things happening with somebody like you, with Zoe being young and Rachel, you're young, and it makes older people like myself really, really thankful and grateful of the future of our indigenous leaders like you two.
I also wanted to just ask before you go, Rachel. Is there a website, an Instagram where people can donate or just, you know, stay updated with what's happening as this develops? I know that the Defend the Depot Instagram is what I've been following. Is that what you'd recommend? Or
yeah, so there's the Defend the Depot on Instagram and I believe on Facebook as well. And then I would follow EPNI, EP, the East Phillips Neighborhood Institute. That's EPNI. Follow them on Facebook as well.
Well, again, you know, I'm really sitting here as a proud uncle, Rachel and Zoe and Ogama and all the young people that contribute to this show, but also contribute to our community. And, you know, to get our white allies out there listening and supporting us, which they want to do so dearly. And so it's good to have these good words out there. It's also good, you know, I'm getting texts right now from people that we all know and listening to the show and supporting the American Indian Movement with Rachel and, you know, Joe. And I'm just really, really happy and so grateful that you were on. Thank you, Zoe, for the news. Hey, you've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We're still here. We are the seventh generation Free Leonard Peltier now.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
There's a forest closer than you think.